The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
This week was the biggest week yet for the state in terms of vaccine rollouts. Never have pharmaceutical companies been in the news so much. Pat McCarthy has written a book on the history of the pharmaceutical industry in Ireland. I caught up with him earlier and I first asked him about some interesting characters who he mentions in the book, particularly one Irish chemist that he talks about called John Desmond Bernal.
Well, Bernal was born in Nina. In his spare time, he was a committed Marxist, but he was an absolute world leader in chemistry. He wrote the first real study of science and history, four volumes in the 1950s. But the other great man that I refer to is Robert Boyle. Now, most of us remember Boyle's Law that we suffered for junior cert chemist or physics. But he was very interested in all forms of science. And he was the first guy in the 17th century to record in Ireland how medicines were made. And if I can quote one, and this is his cure for convulsions. Take earthworms, wash them well in white wine to cleanse them, but so that they may not die in the wine. Then upon hollow tiles or between them, dry the worms with a moderate heat, and no further than they may be conveniently reduced to powder. To 1 ounce of which add a pretty number of grains of amber grease, both to perfume the powder, whose scent of itself is rank, and to make the medicine more efficacious. The dose is from a dram to a dram and a half. Now, I don't know if anybody has ever tried it for convulsions. But he obviously had great faith in earthworms because he recommended earthworms in hen's grease for surface application for the treatment of piles. So that's when you start to get some idea of what they actually made and how they made them and so on like that.
When you look at the industry then in Ireland, and this is something that you feature in the book, the role of Pfizer and how Pfizer, in a sense, saved the industry in Ireland. How did they do that?
Well, if you take, we say, in the early 1960s, Sean Lamass had his Committee of Industrial Organization, and they did a series of sectoral studies, and they found that the pharmaceutical sector had about 28 firms, total employment 803, inefficient. There was at least 70% spare capacity in every plant. There wasn't a future for it. But in 1967-68, Pfizer, they had five big plants. They needed a sixth. And they had more or less decided to put it in Sandwich in Kent, which would be very near the UK and the European markets, when a new member of their board named John Mulcahy intervened. Now, Mulcahy, Dungarvan man, had taken the Republican side during the Civil War, captured, interned, released, unable to get a job, went to the States, studied at night time in the University of New York, joined a company called Quigley Magnesite, rose to be the CEO. When Pfizer bought Quigley Magnesite in 1967, he joined the main Pfizer board. Now, this first board meeting, the subject of this citric acid plant came up, and he said, "No, Ireland." I got the impression that to keep him quiet, they decided to approach the IDA.
And then how important was that?
Absolutely critical. Pfizer was the game changer. Unbelievable. You're talking about well in excess of €3 billion of investment.
And from then, the industry began to grow and began to take off in a new way. But in the 1980s, there was the Merck, Sharp and Dohme case, the action taken against that company. What was that about and what was the outcome?
Merck, Sharp and Dohme built a pharmaceutical plant just south of Clonmel, Ballydine, along the valley of the River Shore. They started production in 1978, and shortly after they started production, a local farmer, John Hanrahan, who farmed about 100 hectares, about a half mile downwind of the plant, began to complain that both his family, himself, and his livestock were suffering. John Hanrahan took them to court. In 1985, he lost in the High Court, so he was facing absolute bankruptcy. He appealed to the Supreme Court. And 3 years later, the Supreme Court reversed it. And what they said was, there's nothing else that we can establish the cause, you have to assume that the link was there between the emissions and the suffering.
And that was the ruling of the Supreme Court.
That was the ruling of the Supreme Court.
What kind of shock was that for the industry?
For the industry, it was a major shock. There was huge sympathy everywhere for the Hanrahan family. As his mother said when she came out after the Supreme Court hearing, all we want is clean air. And that, and so I think the industry now has, if you like, for want of a better term, cleaned up.
One of the things about the pharmaceutical industry, there's been enormous investment,
yeah,
and it's been very successful economically. Part of the rationale for that investment has, I think, been corporation tax,
yes,
rates and very low tax rates on things like intellectual property,
yeah,
and so forth. That's all changing now.
Yeah.
What kind of impact do you think that will have on the industry in the future?
I think the industry is essentially like a three-legged stool, and tax rates is one important leg. That is a worry for the industry, and
but
not just for the pharma
industry.
Wasn't
it in the pharmaceutical industry that these inversions,
yeah,
were done, where basically one company in America,
yeah,
was taken over by a much smaller Irish registered company, it became a merger, and suddenly,
yeah,
what came out the far side was an Irish registered company,
yeah,
that really didn't develop any of its intellectual property,
yeah,
in Ireland. And they were the things that President Barack Obama publicly highlighted,
yeah,
as damaging,
yeah,
our reputation.
Yeah, and Donald Trump even more so. And Joe Biden has taken it up. Now, the inversions have more or less stopped. They used that situation, but that has been cleaned up now, and there are commitments to end the so-called double Irish and so on like that. But to come back to the three-legged stool, the other two legs, one of which is the people, and that comes out over and over again in various interviews. Like Christoph Weber, the people of Tequila, said, we have had great experience with the people. It's why we keep investing in Ireland. And the other leg is the what I call the infrastructure, the supporting ones like engineering, suppliers of packaging and so on like that, which is very, very important now.
And that makes it much more difficult for a company to,
yeah,
look at going somewhere else. One of the other challenges is, and it was highlighted by President Donald Trump,
yeah,
where he said, all our medicines for the American market, they're being made in places like Ireland.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, yeah, this,
yeah,
is great. It's great for the industry. But the America First policy, and Joe Biden seems to be running with that,
yeah,
as well to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Do you think the industry will come under pressure to move a lot more of its manufacturing for the American market into America?
As part of his campaign, Donald Trump reduced federal taxes. That had no impact. Companies continue to invest here in Ireland. And since we're talking about Donald Trump, when he had COVID, he was treated by a product from Regeneron, and he widely publicized that. As a result, as you can imagine, the demand for the product in the States soared. Now, Regeneron at the time had two plants, one in Philadelphia, I think, in the States anyway, I think it's near Philadelphia, and the other one in Limerick, in the old Dell plant in Limerick, where at the time they were employing about 1,000. Obviously, Regeneron decided to make the antibody treatment for COVID in the States. But to create capacity, they had to transfer a lot of the products from the Philadelphia plant to Limerick. Resulted in about 300 to 400 extra jobs in Limerick. So you've this massive interconnected supply chains. So the sheer scale of the capital investment. If, for example, a company, let's take Pfizer, decided to build an alternative source, let's say in India, it would take them at least 6 years by the time you would design it, build it, get regulatory approval and so on like that, and cost you at least $3 billion.
Pat McCarthy there, author of A History of the Irish Pharmaceutical Industry, Making Medicines for the World, published by Four Courts Press.